Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Thundercast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Might and Delight's Shelter. I'm Matthew Sorey, and joining me today, I have Shane Ryan.
Now then.
Okay, so Might and Delight's Shelter came out a few weeks ago now, and it is a game in which you play as a mother badger looking after her cubs. You have five cubs, and you have to take them through this linear, naturalistic forest environment and help them survive along the way, keep them fed. And it's about protecting your badgers and taking them on a journey. So Shane, did you feel any empathy for the mother badger?
For the mother badger,
because she's got a pretty tough situation.
Yeah, not as much because I guess you're cast into the role of mother.
Yeah, okay.
So it's I don't know if I did in that sense.
Yeah.
I mean, as things unravel, definitely, but as she plays a bigger part into the overall message and story that's being told, always visually as well, or through music. But for the cubs, surprisingly.
Did you feel protective over your cubs?
Yes.
Yeah.
And without even realizing it, which is always the best way, which means it's working. It's not making it obvious or telling you that you should be or having. There's no real dramatic cut scenes or anything. It's just things happen as you're going along.
There's no big explicit signs there saying you will care for this person, you care for him because of X, Y, Z.
No.
You start, like, one of the best things about Shelter for me is that you form this relationship mechanically with these cubs because you have to, right, really the main mechanics in the game are about keeping these cubs alive, about sheltering them from the horrors of the wilderness, if you will.
Yeah.
So you have to feed them, you have to keep them fed along the way or else they'll go hungry, and you have to shelter them from predators, you have to hide them away. There's some stealth mechanics, very light stealth mechanics in there about hiding in tall grass away from predators. And you have to guide them through these forest environments. You have to guide them through a forest fire. It's worth saying at this point that we are going to be talking about all of the games. So this is going to be a spoiler-filled podcast. Should have said that at the very start. But if you don't want to know about the game Shelter, go away, play it. Listen to this podcast afterwards.
Well, how about let's split it into two halves.
Okay.
Let's do
15 minutes of non-spoiler.
Something like that. So we'll tell you when we're going to go into spoilersville.
So we'll do 15 minutes on non-spoiler stuff and then we'll see. You play as this mother cub and you have to look after these five young cubs, and everything you can do in the game is really about looking after them. It's about feeding them, it's about taking them through the environment. They follow you wherever you go. They're slightly slower than you, so you need to take that into consideration when you're running across dangerous landscapes. When you're running across a river, something like that. I think it weaves those mechanics in really well with what it's trying to say about nature, which is it's pretty hard, it's pretty brutal, it's not very nice for animals out there. Did you get that?
Yeah, definitely. Which is the kind of the look and style of it. I've kind of said in a preview previously. It reminded me of kind of a pop-up children's, you know, storytime book. It's very like pastel colours. It's not cel-shaded, but it's got like a pastel colour tone. Everything's really washed out. Looks like it's like water painted kind of.
Yeah.
Done. And that means, so it has this nice look to it, like the idea of nature's beautiful and everything, but then it has the reality of these like little mini horrific events that occur as you go along.
Yeah. It's a beautiful looking game. It's really quite abstract. It's very blocky, very angular, very jaggy. But it's textured really nicely. They're very muted textures, like you were just saying, they're all pastel textures.
Mm-hmm.
And some things, like, did you look up at the night sky and notice that the night sky was textured in square blocks, and each of them had like a little drawing on that kind of looked like a star, but in the shape of something, like an animal or something?
Yeah,
like that.
Well, not to that detail, but the sky does look great, because each of the, each chapter of the story is set in a brand new location, and it jump cuts. So you'll leave one place and then it'll just kind of straight into the new place and there you are.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoa, and the first thing I did is just look around at everything because it's such a different change every time.
Yeah, and every one of those environments has its own feel, like it has its own look. And a lot of that, I suppose, is to do with the color palette and when it is, because I think you start off, it seems like spring, summertime, somewhere around there. It's very bright, it's a very green environment, although muted green.
I think it's supposed to be like autumn, isn't it? Because I guess they're going out of hibernation, trying to find some food.
Yeah, I suppose that's it, actually, yeah. It's the start of autumn, and then it progresses through autumn as you play through the game. And as you go on, later levels have like a darker color to them. They have a more orange color, a more beige, reddish color to them. And it really gets into the heart of autumn. And I like how that color change signals the change in the season for you.
Going back to what you said before about how it makes you bond with the cubs through the mechanics of what it asks you to do, is like the very initial setup is, so it's like, it's like a third person camera. You move around and control the mother with very basic controls, which is basically just, you know, your standard move left, right, forwards, backwards. And you kind of have a little button. You have one of the interaction buttons, which picks stuff up, and another interaction button, which basically talks or yelps or barks, depending on how far away from the cubs you are, which basically tells them to, you know, hurry up. So you start off in the den and you've got five cubs, but one of them's curled up in like a grey ball and looks like it's pretty much dead. And what you have to do, and it doesn't tell you, but there's like a vegetable thing sticking out. You go over, and eventually you'll figure out, kind of like an old point and click, where it doesn't tell you what to do. You go over, just try and interact with it, you pull it out, and then you go over, and you think, well, what am I going to do with this? And then I just thought, well, I'll just drop it next to this thing and see if anything works. And then it kind of woke up, munched down on the carrot, and then the game starts from there.
Yeah, that's just one of the, I don't know, I really like that in game design, where, because games are about interacting and exploring and figuring things out for yourself. So I really like that they don't tell you that to begin with. They just leave the things there for you. Mm-hmm. They stop you from going outside. They leave the grey curled up badger and the vegetable, the fruit, whatever it is. It looks like a pineapple to me, actually. On the other side of your den.
In the ground.
And you just figure it out. Yeah, they look like pineapples.
I thought it was
things.
Like a carrot radish thing.
Yeah, it's probably is some kind of radish. There's definitely some carrots in there, but that one looked like a pineapple. But yeah, it doesn't make sense. Pineapple growing out of the ground, but yeah, it looked like that to me. it's got a really interesting start. It's got a really, I think it was a well designed start. It introduces you to a fairly fundamental mechanic without flashing it in your face and giving you a big tutorial. It just introduces it nice and gently, and that really works.
I mean, after that, you get some in-game sort of tutorials. So as you're walking along through the initial area, you'll have like a symbol pop up of something and the key that you need to press. And there'll be, for example, there'll be some sort of jump you need. Well, not a jump, but there might be a frog nearby. And if you press the interact button, you'll leap at the frog and catch it. And then you can feed one of your cubs with it. So it basically walks you through the main things once each time and then off you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it gives you a free run to do any of those whenever you want. It's a very linear game. What did you think about that linearity?
It works in the end section of the purpose, but when you first start walking around, it feels more open than it does. Almost like Valve do in their game design, where it feels like you've got a huge open space, but really you are just walking on a tight line. They've just built it in a way you don't realise. But this doesn't have that level of detail, so there are times when you'll think, yeah, I am just walking down a straight line. one of the areas, the second one, which is kind of at night time, and you have to follow like a little lake stream to, because that's the only way you actually sense a direction. That kind of leads you away, but you can go off at angles. And there's times when you can kind of walk off, but it's more in a platformy way where you walk off and you might get an extra bit of vegetable and it'll loop back onto the main path. It's not like a big open forest that you just mill about in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that linearity was one of the things that I took issue with in my review. I think that kind of worked against what Shelter was trying to do. So you've got all these mechanics that are around protecting your young, and it's about sheltering them through this dangerous environment. But then it's trying to emulate nature through all the things that I've just talked about there. It's trying to emulate how nature is. It's brutal, it's nasty, it's horrible, there's lots of dangers everywhere. But in Shelter, those dangerous areas, they're not scripted, but they're very structured, and you come across one, it's like, right, I'm going to go into the dangerous area now, I need to get past that, and then I can breathe a sigh of relief, and I can carry on my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like it's trying to emulate nature so heavily in its look and its design, and nature isn't like that. Nature should be, there's dangers everywhere. They're unpredictable. Yeah. I can't tell when they're going to come, and I have to deal with them when they come at me. And I kind of felt like that structured nature of Shelter's design worked against what I thought it was trying to say.
It definitely is, those events are definitely structured, so you don't come across danger unless you're supposed to. And in that sense, it's not true to part of the story it's trying to tell. Because really those, if it was doing that, then those events would be randomized. But I think because it's a smaller production, smaller team, you know, it is an independent game.
Yeah.
It's probably they probably wanted to do that, but to get the game done, they had to make the decision of, if we make this up too open and everything could just backfire. Which to be fair is what a lot of big budget, you know, Hollywood blockbuster type games do, is when they put you down a linear path as well. So, perhaps it's not a budget, but I think it was too much of a risk to perhaps randomize those moments a bit more. Because in certain areas, it's like you'll have a bird of prey circling and you have to hide in grass. So if it's a bit more randomized and there's no grass, you'd be a bit.
Yeah. Stuck. I mean, that's, the bird of prey is really the only danger in the first area that you're going through. And that comes in at the end of that first area. And it's very heavily signaled. The music changes.
Yeah. Just soundtrack is great.
Yeah, that was such a weird thing. I think it worked really well. It kind of put you on edge in a way, because it was so different to what the game was like so far. I mean, you have a long period at the start of the game where you're walking through this really nice looking forest, and there's only some gentle guitar strumming in the background. Yeah. There's a nice guitar strum tune whenever you feed one of your young cubs, to basically give you some feedback, show you that you're doing the right thing. Excuse me. And then it sounds wrong. It's offbeat. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't fit with the rest of the music in the game, this music. So it's a good way of signaling what's about
to happen.
It
uses jazz in the same way, and it might seem like an odd comparison, that Deadly Premonition did, where something weird would happen and somebody would just literally fall down the stairs with a saxophone and just, and you just kind of rack it. kind of John Zorn-esque carnage briefly, and you're just like, well, what the hell is going on there?
But that really doesn't fit, but that's kind of the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed, because to me, that's proper sound design, because it's not, if an event's supposed to be jarring, then the music should be jarring. The music shouldn't fit that well. And there's a term, I cannot recall the term of it, but it was made popular in like Last House on the Left, which is where you have music which is opposite to the scene. So in Last House on the Left, there's a really kind of horrific sexual assault. And this kind of chirpy acoustic love song is playing over the top. I can't remember the name. There's a specific word in cinema where you on purposely clash elements.
It kind of exaggerates a moment, doesn't it? Because it's like, this shouldn't feel nice, but the music's telling me that it feels nice, which makes it even creepier.
Yeah, because in like in film and game, when you have big production things there that aren't telling very good stories, all they'll do is just go to the library and just pull out tear rendering guaranteed violin music and just slap it over a scene. But if you actually watch the scene, you're like, this is actually quite bad. It's just the music I'm reacting to here.
Yeah.
So then here, the sound design for Shelter is, for me, was one of the best parts. It's almost like they were watching you play it and then playing the instruments along in real time. It didn't feel quite a stage, because each area is one big piece and the music kind of almost just transitions so well as you're moving around to these different elements. And like I said, you get the guitar strum up when you pick something up, and it never sounds like it clashes or is out of time. It works really well.
Yeah. Just another point about music as well. When one of your cubs does get taken away from you, however they get taken away from you, maybe the bird of prey snatches one away as you're running between running between the tall grass and they're exposed. I'm pretty sure there's no music to accompany that. There's only just the very loud squawk of the bird and like the shrill cry of this little cub.
Yeah.
Is that right? I'm pretty sure there was no music.
I don't think there, I think, is it not the opposite? Is it not silence?
I think it's silence, yeah, which I thought was a really,
I'm pretty sure it just goes absolutely silent. You hear like one little meep and that's it.
Yeah. You hear the bird's big squawk and your cub going, meow, and then that slowly fades off in the distance. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that again is really kind of like powerful in a way, because there's nothing like, it's not typical video game, oh, I've lost, oh, damn, oh, I need to start over again, music.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of like feedback saying, oh, you've done something bad. It's just like, that's the moment. That's what happened in that moment. There's nothing you can do about it.
I think the best sound for loss is silence, I think. In outside terms, because it just kind of exaggerates that thing. And for those that aren't aware, when you have your five cubs, as you lose them, or if you do lose them to nature or animals, then you carry on, and you don't get them back. And it does play into how the story kind of pans out as well. So there's that kind of strange permadeath sort of thing in there.
Yeah, there is permadeath, but this is another thing I took issue with in my review, is the fact that you can actually quit a level, because it's structured around levels.
Yeah.
You can quit a level, leave the game, come back, restart that level, and you have all of your cubs intact, which I think kind of cheapens it a little bit, that you can do that. I really wish that there was no way to do that, that it saved where you were, and it was true permadeath.
Yeah, especially for a short game.
Yeah, and especially because the game is all about that. It's about, if you lose your cubs, that's supposed to be the most powerful moment in the game. That's supposed to be the big loss.
Yeah.
And it is powerful when you first experience it. It's like, oh, I haven't really seen a loss quite like that in games. It's quite stark, and there's no sugarcoating of it. But I kind of think it cheapens it that you can go out and that you can recover your cubs and start again.
Yep. Right, so Shelter is, well, it's out on Steam. I think it might be coming to PS4.
Okay.
Might be doing. But I just thought we'd just wrap up this part now, and then take a quick 30-second break, and we'll just have a quick, more spoiler-filled wrap-up. So if you've not played it yet, and you do want to go check it out, it's there, and we advise you do that. But if you have played it, feel free to continue to listen.
So, Shane, talking about permadeath, how many of your cubs did you lose on your first playthrough?
I think I had two left by the end.
Okay.
I had three until the last part, and then I think I lost one in the final grass section, and then I was down to two of the little chappies. Then, there was two left, because I remember at the end they did a little wiggle as they walk off into the forest, into their new home.
Yay, we've won! Yeah. Yeah, I also had two left at the end. I had four left when I got to that final forest section.
All right, okay.
But we're talking about spoilers now, so we're going to talk about the ending sequence, and the predatory bird returns again at the end, and it's a very hard stealth sequence where you have to run between these areas of tall grass without losing your cubs to get to the final goal.
And they keep getting more spaced out, don't they, as you go along? Yeah, it's harder and harder.
It becomes more difficult, and I lost two cubs in that section. After I'd lost the first one, I was just asking.
Where did you lose the first one?
See what happens.
Oh, no, sorry. Where did you lose the one before?
Oh, the other one before was on the river.
Yeah, I lost one then.
On the water.
And I lost one on the night stage when they all ran off in a random direction and I couldn't get hold of
one. Yeah.
And the music kind of builds up and keeps getting louder and louder and louder and went silent and you just heard the and it was over.
Oh. Was it? I think it's implied that there are wolves in that dark area.
Yeah, it's like a hog or there's something. There's some sort of. I think it's just supposed to be whatever you want it to be. It's a weird sound. I think it's a mix of animal noises.
Succubus.
Yeah, some sort of hydra or something.
Some sort of mythical creature in the forest.
It's knocking about.
Anyway, yeah, so I lost my first one on the river. I've got to say, the river's quite... I think it's like the second to last section, or maybe the third to last.
Yeah.
There's the fire after the river. But up until that point, I was questioning on my first playthrough whether I could actually lose cubs or not, because I didn't think I was playing particularly well. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't want to test the boundaries because I wanted to keep all of my cubs alive. But I wasn't sure whether I could lose them or something would happen and they'd just turn grey like the one at the start and I'd have to bring some fruit and revive it. But yeah, you can lose cubs. And I remember the first time that happened, then there is that little sound, the little as your cub slowly fades away. And that was quite harrowing, strangely. That was it was quite a moment for me, Shane. How did you feel? Did you not give a damn?
When? At the end?
When your cub died. When your first cub died.
Oh, yeah, I was just like, oh, crap. My imagination started to play into it a bit more then. And then I was just like, oh, I wonder what happened to him.
So how did you lose your first cub?
That was at the nighttime thing. When it ran off. And then I lost one on the river as well. I pretty much was on the last part, and then a massive wave came, and just I turned around and I lost one.
Yeah, that was, I did exactly the same. I didn't even realize I'd lost one. I heard the sound, and because I hadn't lost one before, I didn't realize what it was.
Yeah.
I turned around and thought, well, there's only four here. I better go back and find the other one. It's lost.
There were quite a few times, actually, especially the bird of prey sequences when I'd run into the next area and then just turn around and just take a moment to make sure I'd be like one, two, three, four. There you go. Everyone made it.
Yeah.
Which was surprisingly close to what you would actually do. I imagine, as a badger.
Yeah, as a badger. Life of a badger. Yeah, okay, so we both managed to bring two cubs through to the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about spoilers now, so we're going to talk about the end of the game. At the end of the game, what happens is the bird of prey returns. He takes some of your cubs if he can get them. But if you get to a certain point, he stops attacking the cubs and whatever the bird of prey is, starts attacking you instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it does kind of three swoops down on you and injures you progressively, and you start to limp and you start to crawl, and eventually you can't walk as the mother badger, and you get picked up and you get taken away, and then your cubs are left to go off and make their own life in the wilderness.
And the cycle begins again.
There you go, yeah. So what did you think of that ending?
I thought it was really good. Mm. I didn't expect it. And the idea that you could lose all your cubs and there's going to be no one to carry on has its own message to it as well. And I think I really like that, because going back to that kind of children's pop-up book thing, I think if a younger person played it, it is like a life lesson in a way.
It's very
simplified, but it's almost like a Jungle Book, Lion King-esque sort of, you know, this is what it's like.
It's the whole circle of life thing, isn't it?
Without people exploding and stuff.
I said in my review, it's about the brutality and beauty of nature, because it is. It's a beautiful game to look at, but then the things that you do in the game and things that happen to you are pretty brutal. Mm-hmm.
And along the way,
then
like,
that's what nature is.
When you're catching other animals and to kill them to eat, and then the same happens to you, and it's just that.
Yeah.
And if you...
It's that wonderful kind of, you kill things to stay alive, but then when you get eaten, you're like, oh no, this can't happen to me, because that's you.
Yeah. So, and like at the end, if you wait to the end of the credits, you have that extra scene where the bird of prey actually drops. Yeah, you can see it swooping over and it's got its young there. So then obviously it'll be their cycle of life.
So you're getting fed to this bird's young, and that's
I wonder if they'll do like a little mini add-on along the way where it'll start from there. But you're actually flying it. I don't know what sort of prey there is for birds. Other birds? I don't know. It probably won't work as well.
There's plenty of badgers, I could say, after
farmers
in this game. Farmers, yeah. Pretty large bird of prey, but yeah. So a powerful ending.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great ending. I really enjoyed the game. I had some, not issues with it, but I don't think it was quite as effective in some areas.
Yeah, it's just
as
reservations,
maybe
isn't it? It's not perfectly executed in any means, but it's such a bold little move and an angle to go at.
Yeah, and it's a very, not necessarily different, but it's a game with an idea behind it, and one I haven't necessarily seen expressed quite as well as this before in games.
Yeah, it's not a case of we've built this engine and we've got this quick, snappy gunplay that slap a colour and a story on top. This is obviously someone's gone, I want to do this, how can we do it? Because it's clear that the idea was there before they built the world around it.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that happen. So it's worth championing when you see things. Even, I mean, we talk about, like, obviously it's always a big conversation with people within, like review scores and stuff like that. But even when you have an indie game, maybe it gets a 5, you know, 5 is average, you know, it's 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's probably going to have a good idea in there. It's just not recommendable to everyone. So even, that's what I like about indie games, especially with this. It's like, it takes, what, 2 hours, 2.5 hours?
Yeah. I was going to bring that up next, actually, because I've seen a lot of people complaining about its length and, oh, it's not value for money, all that kind of stuff.
I don't get that at all, because it's cheaper than a cinema ticket. And it's better than most films you're probably going to go see at the cinema.
Well, the value equation is both quantity and quality. Yeah, it's not either just...
I always rate it on quality.
You go more heavily towards quality.
If you want to sit in one night and you just think, you know what, tonight I just want to sit down and play something very relaxed but get something out of it. I think this is a perfect little segment to get.
It is. And you would pay, I mean, it's only, I think it's £7 on Steam at the moment. Mm-hmm. Might be a little bit more. Maybe it was on sale when it first came out. But yeah, it's like the price of a cinema ticket, and it's the same length as a movie, if not longer, depending on how you play it, if you want to explore some of the more slightly open areas.
Yep.
And yeah, it's got a message, and it's an interesting game. It's definitely worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anything else you want to talk about to do with Shelter before we wrap up, Shane?
If you head over to the website, we've got, well, it's pretty irrelevant now, we had hands-on preview, we've got a review, but we've also got a video bolt, which is our running series of gameplay videos, as usually when we jump in and play the first 20 minutes of a game, so either at the beginning or the middle. So you can jump onto thunderboltgames.com. We've recently relaunched the website. By the time you get this, there'll be a load of packs, hands-on previews from everything from Titanfall, down to all the indie games that are there. So yeah, there's plenty there. Go check it out.
Brilliant. Okay. So thanks for joining us for episode 36. If you want to let us know what you thought of Shelter, head on over to thunderboltgames.com and check out the forums. Or alternatively, contact us on Twitter @_thunderbolt or email us at podcast@thunderboltgames.com. From me, it's goodbye. And from Shane?
Goodbye.